If I asked you, where's home, how would you reply? I guess for most of us, we'd say Tunbridge Wells. That's where we live and that's where we call home. But I know that it's not like that for everyone. Ask my mother-in-law where's home and she'll say North London. Ask her where she lives and she'll tell you that they're currently living in Crowborough. But they've still got their house in North London. They're just renting it out for a while. You see, Crowborough is where she lives, but it isn't home. For the past 5 years, the Boyages, Pete and Lauren, have been living here in Tunbridge Wells and attending St John's Church. But in June, I got the following text from Pete. Ben, I wanted to let you know that we've decided to move back home in August and bring up an Aussie baby. Well, on Monday, they actually followed through on that threat and flew back home to Australia. At least I'm assuming they have, because I had to upload this video a week early. The UK was never truly their home. They're only here for a year, or 2 years, or maybe we'll stay just one more year. Where's home for the Boyages? It's Sydney. Or is it? You see, in today's passage from Hebrews 11, we're going to be looking at Abraham, his wife Sarah, their son Isaac, and his son Jacob. And we'll be asking them, where's home? And the answer is pretty surprising. But before we get into that, it's worth remembering where we are. So the book of Hebrews is a letter written to first century Jewish Christians. And it was written to remind them that nothing and no one can compare to Jesus Christ. And to encourage them to remain faithful to him. The writer doesn't want them to drift away from the gospel of Jesus. And as Dick pointed out to us a few weeks ago, it's possible that life has started to get a little bit easier for these early Christians. The waves have died down, the sun's even started to come out, and the temptation is to relax a bit. But just as I discover every time I go kayaking at Frinton, if you stop paddling, you start drifting. The waves might be weak, but the current is strong. And the writer of Hebrews is standing there calling out, keep paddling, keep trusting Jesus, keep living by faith. And this is totally relevant to us here today, because let's be honest, in the grand scheme of things, the sea we're paddling in, well, it doesn't look particularly rough, does it? There have certainly been much tougher times and places to be a Christian than 21st century Tunbridge Wells. But that is exactly why it's so dangerous. The waves may be weak, but the current is strong. If we stop paddling and just enjoy the sun, well, who knows where we'll end up. The New Testament scholar George Guthrie puts it like this. He says, one of the grave dangers for us here in our country is that we are so comfortable that we no longer long for or seek our heavenly home. When life is difficult, it keeps us longing for something better. From time to time, I log onto Rightmove just to have a look at what's available. So I put in houses, minimum of 3 bedrooms, and within 1 mile of Tunbridge Wells. And I don't know why it does this, but for some reason, the default setting on Rightmove is highest price first. So I'm always shown the mansions. 9-bedroom detached houses for £3 million. And in that split second, before I change it to lowest price first, my brain starts going, oh, I wouldn't mind living in a house like that. How much would I have to earn to afford that? How could I earn that sort of money? Maybe I should change career. Maybe we should move up north where mansions are cheaper. You see, it's dangerous. It's so easy for us to spend our days striving for the perfect Tunbridge Wells life. Or to spend our days enjoying the perfect Tunbridge Wells life, perhaps. We're a bit like toddlers running a 100-metre race. But along the edges of the track are toys and games, sweets and drinks. So many distractions, and they look so enticing. How many of them will make it to the finish line? Well, the writer of Hebrews wants to keep us focused on the future, trusting Jesus all the way to the end. And his way of doing that in chapter 11 is sharing loads of Old Testament examples of faithful believers. So we see by faith, by faith, by faith, over 20 tangible examples of what it looks like to live by faith in God's future promises. And the writer wants us to follow these examples, to imitate their faith and inherit the promise. David pointed out to us last week that Abraham isn't a great example of everything, but he is a great example of someone who was prepared to give up his security and his stability now because he'd seen a better future. And he desired that future above all of the pleasures and comforts that this world had to offer him. Abraham had faith in God's promises. We know that because he obeyed God. He left his home in Mesopotamia and he made it to the promised land of Canaan. And he lived there all his life with his wife Sarah and their promised son Isaac and then Isaac's son Jacob. All of them heirs of the same promise. And that brings us to Hebrews 11, verse 13. So do grab your Bibles or get it up on your phone. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Well, that's a bit of an anticlimax. They left everything behind, trusted and obeyed God, but died before receiving the things he'd promised them. I don't know about you, but I like to receive whatever I've been promised as soon as possible. I mean, ideally, I want it right now, but at the very least, I want it before I die. Yet Abraham lived his whole life as a nomad, a traveller, without a permanent home. He was in the promised land. He could see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. He greeted it from afar. But it never actually belonged to him. Well, it's become quite popular these days to become what's called a digital nomad. A digital nomad is someone who works online. They work on a laptop. So they can travel around the world, they can visit cool places, meet interesting people, and stay in hotels and Airbnbs while they work. But Abraham was no digital nomad. No, Abraham was an old school nomad, a living in tents kind of nomad. And we'd be wrong to assume that, well, this was just 4,000 years ago. That was what they did back then. No, other people would have been living in houses. And we'd be wrong to assume that, well, maybe Abraham couldn't afford to build a house for his family. No, in Genesis 13, we read that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So the big question is this. Why did Abraham choose to live in tents? And the answer to that question is our first point this morning. We are strangers and exiles on earth. That's verses 13 to 15. We are strangers and exiles on earth. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob all died in faith. They didn't receive the things God had promised them. They only saw them and greeted them from afar, acknowledging that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. In verse 14, the writer goes on to point out that everyone who calls himself a stranger and an exile makes it clear that they're seeking a homeland. They're seeking a home. They make it clear that where they live currently is not their home. And Abraham was a man who openly acknowledged that the promised land, the land of Canaan, was not his home. But that wasn't because he still saw his true home as Mesopotamia, where he grew up. He wasn't saying, we're currently living in Canaan, but we still have our house in Mesopotamia. We're just renting it out for now. No, verse 15 is very clear. If they'd been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, if they'd been thinking of Mesopotamia as their homeland, well, they could have simply moved back there. They could have said, stuff this, stuff living in tents. We've had enough. We were better off back in Mesopotamia. But they didn't do that. They chose to stick it out in Canaan, living in tents, as strangers and exiles, for their whole lives. Why? Why on earth would they do that? And that's our second point, because they knew that their home is in heaven. We are strangers and exiles on earth because, verse 16, our home is in heaven. It says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish patriarchs, they recognised that their true home was in heaven. That's why they were happy to live their earthly lives in tents, as nomads, without a home. Because they were seeking something so much better, a heavenly home. They'd seen it and they'd greeted it from afar, and it was so desirable to them, so captivating, that they'd lost all interest in earthly dwellings. Well, the story is told of a vicar who encountered three boys from the church kids group. And he asked them, do you want to go to heaven? Not me, one boy replied. And the vicar was shocked. You don't want to go to heaven when you die? Why ever not? Oh, when I die, the boy replied. Yeah, sure. I thought you were getting a group together to go right now. Well, that's silly, but isn't that how we often think too? Because if we're honest, well, we've got a pretty lovely home and a pretty decent life here in Tunbridge Wells. When we die and that home and that life are no longer available, then yeah, of course, we'll have heaven as our next home. But for right now, well, we're actually pretty happy here. Maybe we've got an exciting project starting at work soon. Or we're off to uni in 4 weeks. Or we're just about to complete on our new house. Or maybe you've booked a holiday, a post-lockdown holiday, and you're really looking forward to that. Well, these aren't bad things. They're good things. Good things that we should praise God for. But the danger with all of these things is that we become so focused on enjoying them, on enjoying the here and now that we stop desiring our heavenly home. It's very similar to what we saw in Luke chapter 8. Dick preached to us from that about a month ago. The danger is that we become like the seed that fell among thorns. Those who hear the good news, but as they go on their way, are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And the writer of Hebrews is desperate to stop that from happening. He wants to see us press on to the very end, until we die. Remember, he's calling out to us, keep paddling, keep trusting Jesus, keep living by faith. So, how will we ensure that we keep going to the end and die in faith? Well, firstly, just like Abraham, we have to desire our heavenly home. We have to desire our heavenly home. Jesus has promised us an eternity with him. And in the Bible, we can see that future. We can greet it from afar. And the faithful are those who desire it, who seek it, who look forward to it. That should be our experience of faith. Just like it says at the very start of Hebrews 11, in verses 1 and 2, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. We can't yet fully see our heavenly home. We can't hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it yet. But we trust that it's there, that it's real, that it's perfect, and that it's ours. The end of verse 16 says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. If we are followers of Jesus, those who have turned away from our old lives and put our faith in him, well, then we can be sure, we can be completely certain that God has prepared a heavenly city for us. We have a heavenly home. And it's even better than that 9-bedroom, 6-bathroom, grade 2 listed mansion on Rightmove. So much so that we'd be completely mad to settle for anything here on earth. For those of us that are renting our houses and our flats, we'd be bonkers to look forward to one day owning our own earthly homes more than we look forward to being with Jesus in our heavenly home. Faith desires our heavenly home over anything that we can experience here on earth. But what does that faith, that assurance of our future, actually look like in our lives? Well, it looks like living as strangers and exiles here and now on the earth. So let's desire our heavenly home and live as strangers and exiles on earth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all desired their future heavenly home, and that meant that they were happy to live their earthly lives as strangers and exiles. Intense. And because of that, God was not ashamed to be called their God, to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, we please God when we live lives like that, because God wants us to live and die by faith, trusting in him and his promises. People of faith recognize that they're not fully at home in this world. So they live like strangers and aliens, because in faith they hope for a better heavenly life. Well, here are three ways that we can live that out in our own lives. Firstly, we don't need to try and fit in with the world around us. In fact, we shouldn't fit in. As people whose home is in heaven, we should look completely different to everyone else in Tunbridge Wells. Whether that's at school or at work, at the tennis club or in the coffee shop. Earth is not our home. We're aliens. Not sci-fi from another planet aliens, but belonging to another country aliens. Think of it like this. It's almost as if Tunbridge Wells non-believers should see us and say, "You're not from around here, are you?" Non-believers should look at our lives and think, how they live just doesn't make any sense. Because our faith that our home is in heaven should affect everything that we do and say and think. Secondly, we don't need to get too comfortable here on earth. In fact, we shouldn't get too comfortable. I'm sure you've all heard the stories of the Christian who gives up their six-figure salary and their six-bedroom house to go and be a missionary. They might literally end up living in a tent. And their non-Christian friends and family think they've gone completely mad. But to us, it should make sense. There's someone who has faith that their true home is in heaven. Now, we don't necessarily need to deny ourselves all of the pleasures and comforts of this world. But we should at least be willing to give them up. We mustn't say, "Oh, I could never be a missionary. I couldn't live without my cooked dinners or the good grammar schools or a comfy sofa and Netflix to come home to." And you know what? Perhaps denying ourselves at least some earthly luxuries might actually help us out a bit. It might stop us from trying to create our own heaven on earth. And it might keep us desiring our heavenly home. And thirdly and finally, we don't need to spend our days chasing the world's idea of the perfect life. In fact, we shouldn't chase the so-called perfect life. I'm sure you realise that the world is completely obsessed with this. I don't love my house. I don't love my job. I don't love my car, my spouse, my body, my face. So they spend their lives trying to upgrade everything, trying to make everything perfect. And I guess it kind of makes sense. If this is all there is, well, then you don't want to spend it living in a tent, do you? You want a 9-bedroom, 6-bathroom, grade 2 listed mansion. If this is all there is, well, then you might as well spend your days trying to construct the perfect life for yourself. The perfect job, the perfect car, the perfect spouse, body, and face. I mean, that's Instagram in a nutshell. It's aspirational earthly living. A place for you to show off all the nice things that you've got and drool over images of the nice things you want. But as people of faith, we desire something even better. And we're so excited about the heavenly home that Jesus has promised us that we're content to live our earthly lives in literal tents, if we have to, or at least in metaphorical tents. So, how do we keep going as a Christian all the way to the end? How do we make sure we die in faith? Well, we have to imitate the faith of Abraham and the patriarchs. We have to trust that God has prepared for us an incredible heavenly city, better than we can even imagine, and that the risen Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place for us there. Tunbridge Wells is not our home. Not really. Our home is in heaven. The Voyagers may have moved back to Australia. But Sydney isn't their home. Not really. Their home is in heaven. We might not live in the same town as them anymore, but because of Jesus, we share a heavenly home. Hebrews 13 verse 14 says this, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have prepared for us a heavenly city that's so incredible, so amazing that we can't even imagine how good it will be to be there with you for eternity, enjoying being in your presence and all the goodness that that brings. We pray and we ask you that you would help us to remember that truth, to trust it, and to live our lives in light of that promise that you've made to us. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on heaven and not to be distracted by any of the things of this world that look so tempting now. And we pray that you would show each one of us the specific things that that are dangerous for us, that we find particularly tempting. Help us to be aware of them. Help us to avoid them and keep our eyes fixed on our heavenly home. In Jesus' name, amen.